Goodies.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? You know, there's another scripture I'd like to add to that, with what was being shared. You know, in Psalm 1 it says this, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, that scripture for me, it's one that I felt God challenged me to memorize, because it's like, you know, blessed is the man that walks not, stands, or sits. There's a regression of what happens in our lives sometimes. One minute we're walking with the ungodly, the next minute we're sitting with them, or we're standing with them, and then the next minute we're actually sitting with them and partaking of what they're doing. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be different. He really wants us to be different. And that leads a little bit to what I want to share today in regards to what I do want to share with you today. How many people read the book of Ruth? Oh, wow. Great. You know, it's really, in some ways, it's a bit, little bit like Pentecost in some ways. When I got this particular message, it was really in some ways related to Pentecost, how what happens during the process of the story. You know, so I'm going to be sharing from the book of Ruth. But first of all, does anyone know what book Ruth follows? Without looking in the Bible, does anyone know what book Ruth follows? Sorry? Yes. Judges. I want you to turn to the very last book of the very last book of Judges. It's just after Joshua. Whoops. The very last passage in Judges, because then it leads on to Ruth. This really challenged me when I read this. This is what it says. Hang on. Oh, there we go. No, that's not it. Yeah, that's it. "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." This is how Judges end. And it leads into the book of Ruth, which I think is in a sense leading to a place of salvation, leading to a place of Pentecost, to an experience in God that these people had not had previously. Okay? So everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So there's two scriptures I want to have a quick look at just before we really get into the word. Number one is 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So God's word, as we heard the words come out this morning, those words are good for instruction, for doctrine. They're profitable for reproof, for correction. They are good for us to take a hold of and realize that this word is all we really need. Jesus was the word made flesh that came and dwelt among us. This word is truth. I've been listening to a number of ministers from overseas that I believe are men who really are men of God, who explain the word in great detail. And I've been listening to these guys constantly over the last week. And I have been absolutely blown away by what I've learned in regards to God's word. How many people here really want to know God's word in a deeper measure? I do. Yeah, we all should. We should all really want to know him. You know, I've been married for 37 years to my wife. 37 years. I think I know her a little bit now. But when I first met her, I didn't know her at all. All I knew was she was a good-looking chick, and I thought she was great, you know, that she'd be a great friend. And she has been and is. but I know her. And that's what God wants us to do, to really know his word. It's good. The word is good for us. And then in 2 Peter 1:21 it says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." As we allow the Holy Spirit to carry us along, we will begin to understand the prophetic in God's words, of God's word, when it comes to us. Over the years, I've had a number of prophetic words over my life. I always remember once up at Living Springs, Mike Connell was ministering the word at this men's camp. And he pointed me out and he says, "You're going to be a pastor." And I thought, "Oh, get off the grass. I'm an evangelist. That's my primary gifting." Well, I actually pastored for 18 years out at Darfield. The word came to pass. And that's not the only word that I know God that's come to pass in my life, because when a prophet of God speaks, if his word comes to pass, he's got to be a true prophet, right? Don't look too sure out there. Amen. Anyway, back to Ruth. Okay, so let's have a look at the book of Ruth. I'm just going to share some things so you don't have to worry about scriptures at the moment, but it's out of the book of Ruth. So in chapter 1, we see Elimelech and his family left and went to sojourn in Moab. He's leaving Israel, leaving Jerusalem, he's leaving Bethlehem, he's leaving that area because there's no food. So he wants to get some food, so he takes his family, his wife Naomi, his son Chilion, and Mahlon. And off they go to the land of Moab. They get into the land of Moab. And what's happened? They're going to remain there for a period of time. Unfortunately, during this time, Elimelech dies. Naomi loses her husband. So her two sons decide to get married to Moabite women. One was Ruth and the other was Orpah. Now, that was something they were not supposed to do. The Jews were not supposed to marry outside of their people. They weren't supposed to take foreign wives, because that was against the rule of God. God did not want that to happen. But they did. This is a short word. So they lived there for about 10 years, and then the two sons die. Now think about this. Naomi is a woman of God. She loves the Lord. She's lost her husband. It must have had an impact on her. Then she loses her two sons and she's left with these daughter-in-laws. They have obviously seen Ruth's life over this time. They've observed her as one who prays to her God, as one who goes after her God. Even in the midst of her struggles, in the midst of her battles, where she feels like God is dealing with her in a harsh way, but she does not let go of God. She hangs on to God. So she's on her own with her two daughter-in-laws, and she rises to return from the country of Moab to her hometown. Why? Because while gleaning out in the fields, she heard that Israel were being fed by God. She hears it while she's gleaning. That was her only way of surviving, was to go out and glean in the fields. Now, my understanding in those days, when they were harvesting, they would leave the corners so that those who were poor could glean and get something to eat. They were very mindful of the poor. And so Naomi, obviously her daughters would have been with her, they would go out and they would glean in the fields because that was their only way of survival. They had no other way. So they both saw and heard Naomi when she lost her husband and her sons. They both saw her relationship with the Lord. So they rise up to head back. Now, Ruth 1:4. Let's have a look at what it says here. Ruth 1:14 and 15. So then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. I mean, isn't this interesting? They saw Naomi, and they saw the way she prayed, ministered to her God, and at the start they both would not go. But ultimately, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and then she went back to her home and to her gods. See, so often what happens is we come to know Jesus, but then something happens along the way, and we start to put Jesus aside a little bit, and we go back to the old way of life because it feels more comfortable. It feels like that's where I should be, sort of thing. It's not always easy to take the narrow road. It's not always easy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I know that from ministering in the street. It's not easy out in the street. But God gives us strength. And so here we see Ruth clings to her mother-in-law. One of the things I found interesting, as they headed back, verse 16, let's have a look at verse 16 first. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, listen to this, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. See, Ruth saw something in Naomi. She really saw something. She realized, obviously, somewhere down the track, Ruth makes that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or follow God, Naomi's God. She's made that decision. She's stepping out of her old life into a whole new life. Remember, she's a foreigner. Will she be accepted? Well, as we read on, we find out. But she clings and says, again, I will go where you go, I will lodge where you lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. That's what we want people to do. When we're in the street, we want people to know the same thing. Hey, listen, come and follow our way. We may get it wrong at times, but it is the right way as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and accept our God, because he's the only God. There is no other God whereby men and women can be saved. There's only one. Jesus said that. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are lost. It's that simple. There is no other way whereby a man or a woman can be saved. You have got to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you agree with that? Amen. Amen. So, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. And so she follows. Now, let's look at what happens as they come into the town at Bethlehem. The whole town was stirred up on her return. If you've read the story, you'll notice that the whole town is stirred up. Okay? It's interesting, Naomi then begins to speak to Ruth about what she should do. Okay? About going out and gleaning. She said, so she starts to glean in the field of Boaz. And they meet for the first time. Who's that woman over there gleaning in my field? You know? And obviously, things begin to happen. So we see in verse 10 of chapter 2, this is what it says. She fell, this is when Boaz was talking to her. So she fell down on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father, your mother, and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. She left everything behind. Everything. Everything that she would, had been comfortable with, everything that she knew. From birth, she had been brought up in that way. But she left it all. Why? Because she saw something in Naomi that she wanted. And that's why she clung to her. See, I see something in the Word, and I see something in Jesus that I want. And I will cling to Him no matter what. I don't mind what people want to say about me out on the street. It doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm clinging to the One who's given me the life that I now live. Without Him, I'm nothing. But with Him, I can do all things. Just as Ruth has found out. You know, she left everything to follow Naomi. Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And then Boaz answered her and said to her, you know, everything that you've done has been seen. And obviously, that really pleased Boaz. So let's jump over to verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he, because at this point, Ruth has gone and done as Naomi said, to go and lie down at the feet of Boaz, you know, and just wait to see what happens. I love this story. I really love this story. She went to the foot of the man. She had, you know, you think about this. Ruth could have gone for any one of the young men. Any one of them. But she didn't. She listened to her mother-in-law and did as the mother-in-law said to her. And because she obeyed her mother-in-law, she's really obeying God, and she winds up being blessed beyond all imagination. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. This is her chance. She's going to be redeemed, just as we've been redeemed. I love that song. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed, and I know I am. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away. Praise the Lord. It's a great song. I've been redeemed. She's redeemed. Just as you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ruth 3, 10 and 11. Here we see Boaz, her redeemer, says, be blessed of the Lord, for you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. You know, when we came up to Pentecost, Pentecost was a time of people being redeemed. When 3,000 people were redeemed on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up to speak, 3,000 people were saved on that day, redeemed by Jesus. They realize, because I mean, you imagine standing up there, you're preaching. I'd love to see this in the street. You're standing up there, you're preaching, and all of a sudden they say, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We need the fullness of Christ in our lives. Just as I believe Naomi showed the fullness of God in her life, we know we need to show the fullness of Christ in our lives. It says in Colossians, it says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over all power and authority. Think about it. You have been given fullness in Christ. Christ in you, everything that he is, you are. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We sing that song. Do you believe it? Amen. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. He's my redeemer. He's the one that I want to follow for the rest of my life. He's the one I'm going after time and time again. I will go after him with as much as I can and when I can. I want him more than I want anything else. So when we came to Pentecost, we came to that Pentecost in our own lives of meeting our Redeemer. You know, our Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah. I like that. Yeshua Messiah. I like it when Russell, you know, uses that name. I love it. So these women knew what and how to pray. And God responded. And ultimately, what I really love about this book is at the end, we find out that Ruth, a foreigner, a Moabite woman, the lineage of our Lord and Saviour comes through her. See, God can turn anyone's life around. God can change the vile, like we sang it this morning, about the vilest, you know, the vilest heart. God can change it. There's a lot of people don't like it when God does that because they think they're more pure than what those people are. No, they're not. If they have not responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're lost. There's no way for them until they repent and turn. And some of the vilest offenders we know, I mean, I've read stories of some of the vilest offenders in prison that have repented and turned to God. They never get out. One young man, for whatever reason, murdered his parents. He was 19 years old. Always remember this young man, red hair, quite a solid young man, 19 years old, was sent to prison for life. This is over in the States. And I read his story. And somewhere down the track, there was a gentleman who was in the army. He had lost parts of his body over in Vietnam, but he had a love for God, and he would go into the prisons and share his testimony. He was being an example to the prisoners inside the cell because he realized that he'd been a prisoner within his own life for many years until he met Jesus, and Jesus set him free. So this young man makes a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He just starts to study the Bible. He goes through Bible college, correspondence. He's got all these degrees on the Bible and all that sort of thing. He loves the Lord, but he will never get out of prison because he's in for life. But see, even though he says this, I might be in prison, but I'm not in prison. I'm free. Why is he free? Even though there's bars all around him, he's free because he knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And sometimes we put ourselves in prison. We get caught up in the things of this world. We put ourselves in that prison cell. Only we can turn around and let it go. Amen? So, that's my word. So what I want to do now is, what do I do with my notebook? Here's my little notebook. Now, here it is. When I was out praying this morning, I came a little bit earlier because I wanted to pray, so I went out into the dining room over here. As I was praying, I felt God spoke to me a couple of words of knowledge. So I'm going to put it out there. Number one, if this is you, please respond. Because I feel God's shown me this, and I'm hoping that the people are here. If not, then maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. But number one was, somebody's right Achilles has been playing up on them. If that's you, if your Achilles tendon has been playing up, I'd like to pray for you. Okay, is there anyone here? Right on their Achilles? Could be the left side, but I felt it was the right. Anyone? No? Okay. What about their right shoulder? Ooh, yes, come on up. Come on up, Don. Now, the other thing that God spoke to me about was there are people here who need to leave some things behind. You're carrying things that you don't need to carry. Now, I don't know who that is. Sometimes in the church, what they'll do is they say, every eye closed, every head bowed. No, Jesus didn't, you know, Jesus openly went to the cross. Great. So if that's great, come on up, guys. Come on up. Now, the song that we sang about he carries the healing in his hands, it was the first one with the fire background. Jesus. What is it? Jesus. Next verse. Next one. Okay. Look at this. Okay. Just come and stand together, guys. Come and stand.
It's not my Achilles, but it's my right foot that collapsed.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Well, I can get it wrong, you know, but we'll still pray for it.
Amen.
So look at this. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. That reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they're in the fiery furnace. He roars like a lion. He bleeds as the lamb. He carries my healing in his hands. Now, I'm standing in front of you today, so God can work through my hands to heal and touch you. All you've got to do is be open and let whatever God wants to do, let him do it. Okay? Sandra, would you like to come and stand with us? Is that right? Okay. Now, Don, come over here. Shoulder.
Yeah, I was sitting on my couch. And all of a sudden, it bit me in the shoulder. And every now and then, in the joint, I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I get this, woo.
Right. Can I anoint you? This is my special oil. Okay. You guys just also pray, okay, as we pray for each other. Father, right now, I just want to thank you for Don, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your healing. Lord, that song, as we sing, he carries our healing in his hands. Father, as we lay hands, Lord, let your healing flow through our hands to touch Don and bring healing and wholeness in Jesus' precious name. And we thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, you can stand up here and pray as well, too. Okay. You want to pray with the ladies, Sandra?
Sure.
Okay. You want to come and pray with Brent? And we will pray for you, ladies, don't worry.
What's the problem, Brent?
I've got to let go of the past.
Right.
Okay.
Lord, you've just heard Brent say that he's got to let go of the past.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you that you can help with this. Lord, only you can help him.
Yeah.
And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Brent will find out from you how to let go, and he will be able to testify to others the same. Lord, we thank you that you've brought Brett into this so that he can help others, because you are the helper that will help him and help him to have this ministry to others. Thank you, Lord.
Father, yes. Lord, we do. We thank you, Father. We do pray, Father God, that, Lord, as he lets go of those things, Lord, they have no hold on him. Father, they have no hold. He belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a son of God. You know, there's a scripture, Brent, that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. When the enemy, he always comes in with thoughts. He tries to get into the mind of the people, because once he's got a thought pattern going, it can distract us from what we really wanted to do. Get a hold of that scripture. I'll find I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:5? Casting down imaginations. Can you check it out for me, please, mate? And get it, memorize it so that every time, if you can memorize it, do that. If not, write it out and just keep it with you and read it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay?
We're meant to guard our hearts.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
I've heard that.
When these thoughts come in, you might start.
Yes, yes, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yep, thank you.
Oh, hang on.
That's the one, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that's one. What is the King James? Have you got the King James? Or the casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself?
Tis.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Something aloud. Mm. You can't hold the thought way.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Precious Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anything specific, Sue?
Maybe more of you that want to come forward for prayer after the service, and we'd love to continue to pray for you at the end of the service.